You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show is first aired August 27th, 2023. The practice of placemaking in urban design and pedestrianization of urban spaces and downtown cores have been methods used to address well-being and connectedness of a city's residents and boost health and safety of an entire population. In 2019, noting the lack of a permanent pedestrian zone in the downtown and being long concerned about the safety of residents when getting around the city while not in their cars, local musician, community organizer, downtown shop owner, and Kitchener resident Sam Nabby amplified an idea on Twitter. Transform Gockle Street, the short, quiet road starting at City Hall and leading down to the entrance of Willow River Park, or Victoria Park, into a pedestrian zone. In Waterloo Region, while the number of collisions involving automobiles being driven into pedestrians and cyclists has been trending down for years, in 2020, which is the most recent year with data available, there were still 67 people not in their car or on a bike who were driven into by a driver of an automobile, and another 78 collisions involving people driving automobiles and people on bicycles. The plurality of these collisions occur at intersections or in crosswalks, where the pedestrian or cyclist has the right of way, and the driver of an automobile was found to be inattentive. Over the years, local advocates and some dedicated city staff have worked to implement more accessible, friendly, and safe neighborhoods with a lot of attention being focused in the downtown core. For many years, King Street through the downtown has been occasionally closed to traffic during certain days or weeks for special events or holiday markets. But the area was always returned to its car-centric design for the majority of the year. As popular human-scale urbanist Brent Toderian has said, quote, "The truth about a city's aspirations isn't found in its vision, it's found in its budget," unquote. And through the cooperative efforts of community members and city staff, funding for Gockle Street pedestrianization was included in the 2019-2020 budget. Subsequent years' budgets have seen continued funding to accomplish a more comprehensive project. In May and June 2023, after several years of more casual organizing around the space, as approvals and permits were worked out, the first section of the fully pedestrianized Gockle Block opened with more permanent features, dedicated booking options for the public, and a full schedule of community events through the summer. Today's show features an interview with Sam Nabby about the successful campaign to have Gockle Street and downtown Kitchener converted into the Gockle Block pedestrian area, as well as discussion of budget priorities, the effects of neoliberal economic thinking on public space, the importance of grassroots placemaking initiatives, and what's coming next for the Gockle Block. And now for the interview.
So my name is Sam Nabby. I'm a community organizer and musician and small business owner in downtown Kitchener. I studied urban planning in university and grew up in the suburbs, very car-oriented community. I think I always had an environmentalist streak growing up. I remember being 14, 15 years old and deciding that I want to ride my bike to school instead of being driven or taking the bus, and really, you know, it was fast roads and an inhospitable place for anyone, much less a teenager, to be riding their bike for a commute. But I kind of really got into that road warrior mentality and was trying to find a way against all odds to make that part of my lifestyle. Getting into the gym showers at high school so that I could actually, you know, not come to school sweaty. And so cycling and walking and being in a city has always felt good to me. I don't like driving. I don't like that our cities are car oriented. And when I came to university, the urban planning program here at University of Waterloo really gave more voice and reasons behind that instinct for me. And you could, you know, learn about the history of racism and redlining in North American cities that caused people to flee to the suburbs, and, you know, the ways that car companies themselves helped influence the way that our cities are built. And you know, killing the electric streetcar system and stuff like that. So there are huge sociopolitical issues that I sort of grabbed onto, and I was able to say, okay, this is why I feel the way I do. Mm. And I also think it's really interesting when people go on vacation, they seek out places that are pedestrianized and they seek out places that are not dominated by cars. And so I was recently at a conference where we were talking about city design and finding joy in the city. And one of the workshops asked people to describe, you know, a moment of joy or a moment when they had a connection with a stranger. And most people, like more than 80% of people in the workshop, said that it was while they were on vacation or while they were traveling. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting question. How do we, if we intentionally seek out these joyful places or these nice places that are giving us life when we're on vacation, why can't we try and apply that into our daily life? Mm-hmm. Why do we miss that, or why do we not think that's possible in your day-to-day life? So that's a bit of a broad overview of maybe my philosophy on, public spaces and moving through the city. And when it came to Gockel Street, you know, I live downtown, I work downtown, I operate my business downtown, and I'm in the community every day, just observing the changes and who's doing what and what's happening. And when the Charles Street bus terminal closed down, that was a big deal. And actually, the vision for Gockel Street started before that happened, because there was a small block of Gockel between King Street and Charles that was closed off for construction.
Right.
They're building the condo tower at Charles and Gockel, and they didn't have enough space on the land itself for their construction equipment and their offices and all the piles of dirt. And they got a permit from the city to block off the road and use that. And they, you know, this happens pretty often. There's another condo being built right now where they've blocked off one part of Francis Street, I believe it is, downtown Kitchener. Mm-hmm. And the sign says this road will be closed for 4 years. And so, you know, we're willing to close off streets for construction, and we have a process in place for that. And the city's willing to do that at the drop of a hat, as long as people fill out the right paperwork. And then that just opens up the question of, well, what is the best use of this land? What are we, is it important to have a street for cars to drive down? Maybe, but also what can we do with that block? And Gockel Street was a pretty low hanging fruit because it's not a major corridor. I don't think drivers really noticed it when it was shut down for the construction. And so the proposal that I came to people with was, why don't we just keep it closed and do something better? If someone can't turn left there, they can turn left at the next block, and I'm sure their day will be fine. And in the meantime, we can program the space, we can have events there, we can put picnic tables, we can have people, having a spot to hang out, which we need more of as our population downtown keeps growing.
In 2019, you sent out that tweet. Since then, what has happened? The actual, the street being opened officially as a pedestrian space.
Yeah, so that first tweet, that was not the first tweet, actually. There was another that someone else had posted about the same block. And it was Michael Drucker, who is someone who is pretty vocal online about city planning issues and has been part of Tri-Cities Transit Action Group before and advocating on things like sidewalk clearing and transit. And so he had put out a very cynical tweet about that block and said, oh, look, we can block it for construction, but God forbid we try to do anything else. And I maybe strategically reframed that sentiment to be less about complaining and more about, like, let's be a little bit naive and optimistic and see if anyone else jumps on this bandwagon. And so I don't want to say that to say anything bad about Michael or that his approach was wrong, because I think there's always room for criticism, especially when you're directing your comments to the city, to democratic entities. Like, they need to be able to hear that feedback. But I think just the right the right tone, the right kind of vibes were going on that day. And the mayor caught onto it and he reposted it and said, "This is a great idea. I think this is fantastic. I'll bring it to staff." Getting a letter back from staff is not a victory. We need to measure what is progress. And this is a street that's probably not going to cause any issues for people. There's a few properties along it. And so I went on a little bit of a fact-finding or like relationship-building mission. And so I talked with Arts Build Ontario, who runs 44 Gockel. I talked with the CEO of North Tech Company that was on that corner. Right. I talked with the Starbucks, the general manager of the Starbucks that was about to move in, and the property manager of the little apartment building that's there, and tried to get buy-in from all of the people who are actually on Gockel right. Street. Because one of the things, if something like this comes up to city council and they want to decide whether to pedestrianize a street or do anything, they'll always want to know, like, do the people who are actually there support it?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Most of them were supportive. And then we also had a community meeting where I intentionally invited, you know, neighborhood associations, business association representatives, artists, you know, people, families with kids, single people. We're trying to get as broad of a demographic as possible in order to say, look, we have such a wide variety of people that are interested in this idea, and we don't have to decide on the specifics right away. Like, let's just get buy-in for this idea and say we should pedestrianize this street, and then whatever it physically looks like, we can figure that out later. Let's get the commitment and the budget for it first. So my idea of success was trying to get something in the next year's budget to say, this is going to land on someone's desk at City Hall, and mm-hmm. it's their job.
And they have some money for it.
And they have some money for it. Because, you know, you also need buy-in from the staff and the people who are actually going to implement this. And I had had a conversation with one of the urban designers at Kitchener City Hall, and they said, look, I love your idea. I love the concept, but this is not something that's in my job description right now. And you need to get city council to make it my job description. And so you have allies inside City Hall, you have allies outside City Hall, and we're all coming together to try to make this happen very strategically. At the end of the day, I realize that it's not a huge transformational intervention. Like when you zoom out, it's two blocks. You know, it's a very small amount of space when you consider the whole city, but I'm really amazed at how much activity has happened there and how people have gravitated to it. And it really just goes to show, like, how wasteful roads are. Like, if we can do so many events and festivals and provide public space, like, I see people taking selfies out there all the time. I see people skateboarding, walking their dogs, concerts happening there. And, like, that's, we've created so much value for people out of these two little blocks of a side street. Like, roads take up so much space.
There is, like, the safety issue of just, like, getting around downtown once you pedestrianize it. And as you said, it is just two blocks. But it is a pretty strategic two blocks. It leads from Kitchener City Hall down to Willow River Park. And it is well placed within the city. It is a corridor. And you can see that it was, like, before, it's this two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's this interactive space with seating and umbrellas and shade and activities. You want to talk about, you know, you could go from the official opening of this street after the city was like, okay, we're going to do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut it off, put up some picnic tables. But now it's, like, opened, you know, June this year.
Yeah. So one of the things that I always stressed in the early stages of this was that I didn't want us to get too hung up on details and too hung up on major budget commitments. Like, we got some money committed for Gockel Street in the 2020 budget, and it was set to be spent over the course of 3 years.
Mm.
So by the end of this year, 2023, we're getting to, like, the final stage of what this is going to look like. But originally, I said, look, you know, the city has, if you don't want to spend much money on this, like, that's not the important thing. We don't need to have market stalls with public art and special swing picnic tables.
Right.
And like, that would be nice. Let's get there. But to start off in these first few months, I'm sure the horticulture department has some extra planters. I'm sure the parks department has some extra picnic tables. Like, just get a few extra things and plunk them on the street and see what people do with them. Mm-hmm. And they followed that advice, and it was very basic at the beginning. You know, the street was blocked off with these ugly orange construction barriers. Mm-hmm. And the thing with City Hall and regulations is that everything is more complicated than you think it's going to be. And so one of the pieces of feedback we started getting at the very beginning was like, oh, why do you have these ugly barriers? Can't we put something nicer? Because we're trying to encourage people to use this space. We have this like construction orange grid, like stop sign. And there's some regulation that has to do with the Ontario Transportation Act. And, you know, there was a certain reason why the city had to put those barriers in. And until they officially changed it from a road to a public square, they had to keep those ugly barriers up. And then at one point, I think in the last 6 months or 8 months, they added some new signage on the side of the road. And because now they had that and they delisted it as a road, now we can open it up and not have those ugly barriers, and we can have nice planters as being the only, you know, barrier stopping cars from coming in. And so like that kind of, you know, bureaucratic jumping through hoops is not stuff that a volunteer group should be doing, or that, you know, community advocates necessarily want to be doing. And I think we structured it well where, in this case, it became a project of the, I think it was the engineering department who took it on, engineering plus economic development.
Okay.
And, you know, they had to work their way through all their loopholes, and that's their job, and they got paid for it, and we had budget for it. And you know, I think that was the right way to go about it, because all of the advocates that were involved, we didn't have to get burned out and try to do this ourselves. We got a lot of support from the city staff.
Seems there was support from the start. And
yeah, if there's support from the idea, then use that support, because yeah, otherwise if you get resistance, then it's going to be difficult to do anything. But yeah, I don't see how we could have accomplished the goggle block if the city staff themselves didn't see the value of it.
The economic development was in on the redevelopment of this road to a public space versus like parks or other committees. And with placemaking and community versus like the economic use or the neoliberalization of public space, how has that been balanced?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when we were first proposing this, it was during the time when the City Hall Square was being reconstructed, and that was supposed to take like one summer, and it ended up taking like three summers, or however long it took. And so part of the reason for Gockel Block and part of the reason why we got such good buy-in from the city staff and from council was that they knew they were going to be losing a public space, and that, you know, we needed another spot close by to have events. I think it's an interesting question about the privatization of public space, and I do think it's a good thing to program these spaces and to have events there and to have it be a spot where someone can ask the city, look, I want to do a festival, or I want to do an event, and they can you know, officially book that space as if it's a room in a community center. Because unfortunately, due to like larger forces of neoliberalism, I don't think a lot of people really know how or are comfortable just hanging out in public space in an unstructured setting. We've been conditioned, especially throughout the pandemic, to consume entertainment at home and to get food delivered at home and to connect virtually through these platforms that mediate our engagement with one another. And part of running some structured events on these public spaces is about yeah, making people more comfortable with being in public. I think another factor that's adding to this is a lot of the new residential towers that are coming up downtown will have their own private rooftops and pools and rec rooms, and it becomes like a private members club. You know, when you see some of these advertisements and the real estate agents are advertising the fact that you never have to leave your building because you can just walk your dog on the 8th floor terrace. And what does that do to the fabric of the public space, right? You need people of all different classes interacting with each other and using the space. So you mentioned the Oktoberfest announcement, and they're going to be setting up a beer garden on Gockel Block and charging $20 admission, which I feel like it's a necessary compromise. Yeah, eventually, I hope we can get to a point where the vast majority of people are comfortable just hanging out outside. Mm. But I don't think we're there. And I think people need some structured activities to feel comfortable doing that. Another thing that might help would be to adopt a more European model around licensing alcohol in public parks. I lived in Paris for a year. In that city, the default activity for hanging out with friends is going to the store, grabbing a bottle of wine, and having a picnic in the park. And so you have families and young adult friends and older adult friends and work friends all just socializing and taking up space in the parks in a very unstructured way. But we don't really have that culture. So yeah, there needs to be some changes to the laws there. And I would love to see a future where Gockel Street is so busy with just regular people every day that we don't need to have organized events. But I do think we need them as a stepping stone.
What's next for Gockel Block as it opened up in June officially, and this, you know, this Oktoberfest announcement where the city's pretty pumped to be having some space down there with Oktoberfest? What else is happening?
Yeah, I mean, Gockel Block has been a part of a lot of major festivals already, and I know we had the official announcement this past June, and that was because all of the new infrastructure there with the fancy chairs and the market stalls and the public art, that was all funded through a federal grant. And so, yeah, the government of Canada saw enough promise in that to, like, approve us for a grant. In that case, what city staff have been able to do is like leverage the small initial funding that we got secured, do something small, and then make the case to the federal government that we can do something bigger. So yeah, at this point I have no like input into how Gockel Street is going. I'm one of the community advocates who got the ball rolling, and for a while I was part of a committee with staff and with representatives from the downtown action committee and the neighborhood association, and we would meet once a month or once every 2 months with the city's urban designer and with the engineer and with the parks department, and just all give input on what we want to see. And so we have one block of the Gockel Block that has been fully furnished and programmed and looks great, and then the second block that's in front of the Charlie West condo is still empty. I know that there will be something put in there sooner rather than later, but it's not just going to be empty. And I don't think I can divulge any more details than that, but we are going to continue making it like a space for all ages and different activities to be had. So yeah, I'm really happy and really proud with how the project has come out, and at this point I'm just sitting back and enjoying it like everybody else. I had a lot of history with getting it going, but it's a city project and it's a city space, just like a community center or a park, and it can be booked through the city's booking system. And like, this is a testament to the fact that public spaces and public agencies can accomplish things. You know, I feel like there's an overall sensibility, like you mentioned, neoliberalism, that like government can't do anything and we just have to contract everything out. But this is a situation where the city has provided some really great infrastructure that now nonprofits or groups of people can just use. Like, you know, if you want to do an event now on Gockel Street, the city hands you the keys and you have the use of all of this amazing equipment and a sound stage and market stalls and et cetera. And if it's not being used for an event, then there's just picnic tables and activities that people can play with. And I think it works really well as both a structured and an unstructured space.
So you're feeling like this was a success?
Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of identifying the win and like planting your flag and saying we did it, we did something, because it's and then, you know, give yourself some time to celebrate and then you can move on to the next thing, because it can be tempting if you're an activist to never be satisfied. But I want to claim this as a win for the city and a win for all the people who live downtown, to say that, like, yes, we have a public space and an urban park that was not there before. And I'm really happy about that.
You have been listening to an interview with community-minded Kitchener resident Sam Nabby. Nabby, who studied urban planning at the University of Waterloo, spoke about the Gockel Block Placemaking Project, tensions between neoliberal economics and public space, what's next for Gockel Block, and about grassroots efforts to focus city building on resident health, safety, and happiness. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news, and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.